the smoking rate amongst those under 18 is now only 8%. And it wasn't that long ago where it was a very significantly higher figure than that. So that's the most encouraging part of the research, that, if you like, you know, our job is to try and persuade the 7.5 million smokers across the UK to give up. But if you're also then deterring people from taking it up in the first place, that's clearly a good thing too.
Well, hang on. I mean, you're still selling cigarettes. You're presumably working on the basis that people are still buying them.
Yeah, but we've made a commitment to stop selling cigarettes as soon as possible. And that's actually why so much of our focus, it's actually one of the reasons why we commissioned the research, so much of our focus is on trying to persuade smokers either to quit or to switch to a less harmful alternative. I mean, just to give you one example, we've asked the government if it'd be possible for us to put inserts directly into our cigarette packs, advising those smokers either to quit or to switch and stop smoking cigarettes completely.
Hang on, I mean, you could stop selling them tomorrow.
Of course we could, and in some ways we'd like to do that, but the only benefit of that would be that another cigarette company would sell cigarettes. We think we have a role to play in encouraging smokers to switch, whether that's working with pharmacies, retailers or businesses. You know, we think that there's an incredibly important role that Philip Morris can play in actually getting those smoking rates down. But we've clearly got a business to run, and therefore our focus is on, can we build our alternative business, e-cigarettes and the like, so that that is a sustainable long-term business.
Oh, sure. I mean, you know, this is a changing market. You've seen an opportunity, and that's fair enough. You're a business. But, I mean, don't treat it as a moral crusade. You know, you're seeing e-cigarettes and those kind of technologies, presumably as a good stepping stone onto the next stage of this market, presumably.
Of course. And technology has changed almost every business in the UK. Mm. But actually, it's interesting that the cigarette that was around when Philip Morris was first set up looks pretty much the same as it did 170 years ago. But actually, technology has kind of finally arrived in this sector, just as it has in many others. But I guess the difference is that we have made a commitment to going smoke-free. No other cigarette company has done that.
Now, this year, after you made that announcement, you saw revenue drop, you saw your share price drop. Is this a market that is proving harder to tap into than was perhaps expected?
Perhaps. I think in some ways running a cigarette business was pretty easy. It's you know, the profits that cigarette companies have made over the decades has been, you know, very successful. Philip Morris has been a hugely successful company.
Well, the product sells itself.
And that, I think, is one of the challenges, that when you move away from that business and start to try and focus on, for example, the e-cigarette business, you know, we've had to do things in the UK that we've never done before. So we have shops, we have an e-commerce site, we actually employ coaches to encourage smokers to try our products and to switch completely from cigarettes. These are things we've never done before in the past. And therefore, I think, you know, the competitive challenges that we face are very significant, and they're very different from perhaps the business we had in the 1990s, early 2000s.
Are you suggesting the industry was a little complacent?
I mean, I'm relatively new to Philip Morris, but I do think that it feels to me as if the cigarette business was an easier business to manage. We are now moving into a completely different type of business, facing completely different kinds of competitors that we haven't faced before or haven't faced for generations. And just as many other businesses are disrupted by technology, that's also affecting us. And the difference is that we are the one doing the disrupting.
You touched on this a moment ago, but you are reasonably new to Philip Morris. But before that, you worked with think tanks, you worked with the Conservative Party. This feels like an industry which is, I mean, it is particularly shaped by what government policy does for it. That must have an impact going forward on where the industry goes.
Yes, and look, we have regular dialogue with MPs and other politicians. And I think the first time you say to them, it's that we're a cigarette company that wants to give up smoking, you know, there's a sharp intake of breath. But we're also believe that there are things that we can do working with government. I just talked about inserts, for example. But we think there are other ways in which the regulations could be changed to enable better information to be provided directly to smokers. For example, I mean, there's just some anomalies in how the regulations work for e-cigarettes. You can, for example, advertise an e-cigarette on a billboard, but you can't advertise online. That seems to make no logical sense when the government itself has said that e-cigarettes are 95% less harmful than smoking.
There have also been calls because of the nicotine involved in them for the same kind of duty that is on cigarettes to be on e-cigarettes as well. I mean, is that something that Philip Morris would be working against?
I don't think it's just us working against it. I think it's organisations like ASH have spoken out against that as well. It makes no sense, because if e-cigarettes are less harmful, then it makes no sense to tax them more heavily, because the net outcome of that would be that more people might stay smoking cigarettes.
But you think that it's a financial reason that people switch to e-cigarettes?
It's one of the reasons. It's one of the reasons that people switch, because obviously the duty on cigarettes is about 80% of the total cost, whereas it's obviously much less. It's just VAT that's charged on e-cigarettes. So one of the reasons that people switch is because of cost and price.
So if you put the price of your cigarettes up, more people would switch to e-cigarettes or quit?
I think more likely is more people might switch to other cigarettes. But look, for sure, as most of the cost is already the excise duty and tax, we think that that's why having lower duties on not just e-cigarettes, on heated tobacco makes sense, because it actually is one of the things that would encourage people to switch.
It feels as though, as a company, you're moving towards getting people to take up e-cigarettes rather than cigarettes, whether for business reasons, but also because you feel that it's just a good thing to do, while still selling cigarettes to people who may start up. How do you actually justify that?
Well, look, of course, we would like to stop selling cigarettes as quickly as possible. That's our aim.
But you can. You're in charge of your product.
Yes, but we also think we can play a role in with our cigarette packs, for example, to persuade people to give up smoking completely. And that's why, as I said, our focus is very much on what can we do, what role can we play, whilst continuing, as you say, to sell cigarettes, what role can we play to encourage people to switch completely and to stop smoking altogether.
But would you be marketing right now to people who aren't smoking, who don't use e-cigarettes, don't use cigarettes, but who may be trying your product for the first time?
Yes, but we're not doing any marketing to those people, because it's illegal in the UK to market cigarettes.
All right, would you be encouraging people to use your products for the first time?
No. Not at all. I would rather people never took up smoking in the first place. I mean, quitting is always the best option, and never starting is obviously the easiest way of not having to give up.
And looking to other industries that also have products which are regulated in similar ways to tobacco, I'm thinking perhaps of alcohol, for example, could you see the same kind of regulations, plain packaging, the warning labels? Could you see alcohol and other industries going down those kind of routes?
I guess the lesson for us is that we've spent £3 billion in investing in developing alternatives. Our research shows that they are less harmful than smoking. I guess from our point of view, what we're focused on is how quickly can we bring those products to market, because it's the right thing to do, not just for smokers, but for our company. And I guess if I was another company, then I'd be thinking, are there products that they can develop as quickly as possible that bring a benefit to society as well as to their own companies?